Okay, next section, reporting requirements. What do we have to report? Is it simple? Is it difficult? Well, the legislation requires the reporting of all expenses and benefits, whether reimbursed to the employer director, or indeed even if it's paid on behalf of them, perhaps through a company credit card, a company account, a company checkbook. It still has to be reported. All expenses and benefits have to be reported on a VAT inclusive, irrespective of whether the employer is able to recover part or any of the VAT. And also the PLMDs have got to cover the year ended 5th of April or 31st of March is okay. They cannot be based on the accounting period of the employer. If the employer's accounting period is the 31st of December, then you're going to have an apportionment, 9/12 for the one accounting period, 3/12 for the other accounting period. Okay, what's next? Who must you do PLMDs for? Just about everyone, perhaps. All directors of the company, and I'm talking about Companies Act directors, with few exceptions. The exceptions will be a full-time working director of a not-for-profit organisation. And then it's all employees and any accepted directors if they have emoluments or earnings, including benefits, at a rate of £8,500 a year. That has to include expenses and benefits, but you can exclude any payments of pension and payroll given. It really means most people, employees and directors. Let me look at reporting exclusions, what you don't have to put on the PL11D. And let's start with, you do not have to do nil PL11Ds. If there's nothing to report, there's no need to fill in a PL11D for any director or employee. The next point is to look at Chapter 5 of the HM Revenue and Customs Booklet 480. It gives detailed guidance on what doesn't need to be reported. It starts with exempt items, such as annual parties or similar functions, within the £150 limit that are generally available to all people and do not have to be reported on the PL11D. Then we have office accommodation and supplies. Who's bought the paper? Who's bought the fax machine? Expenses such as that bought through petty cash or expenses do not have to be reported on the PL11D. Other exemptions include job-related living accommodation, late-night taxis within the special exemption there. Work-related training expenses, another example of the exempt items included within the Chapter 5 of Booklet 480 that you should look at and consider what you don't need to report. Then we have payments covered by a concession. Not a lot of these, but again, covered by the booklet, and one of them is travelling expenses of unpaid directors of a non-profit making organisation. The Booklet 490 on travelling expenses of the revenue is another area to have a look at to help you be aware of what doesn't have to be reported. But we have two main areas of non-reporting on PL11Ds. The first one is expenses or benefits covered by a PL11D dispensation. And then the second one is expenses or benefits that have been included in a PAYE settlement agreement. And now I want to tell you a bit about both of those. First of all, the PL11D dispensation. Providing that there is no reporting of any items covered by a dispensation, a dispensation is a notice of nil liability issued by an officer of the board if satisfied that any items included in the dispensation would be fully covered by a deduction. No point in putting them on a PL11D if the employer director can then make a claim later on for a deduction. PL11D dispensation is not an annual return reporting requirement. They can last for years provided they remain valid. Revenue issued guidance last year in April 2006, and they issued a new form, PL11DX, an application form with a lot of questions. My advice is have a look at the form, use it as a checklist to decide whether it's appropriate to apply for a dispensation, and then either apply on the form or apply in letter form, perhaps given a copy of an expenses claim form, a copy of any expenses policy as justification for applying for the dispensation. Now, not all items that don't go on a PL11D are matched by a deduction and non-taxable. Sometimes an employer will not want to report something that's taxable on a PL11D and perhaps wants to pick up the tax bill as employer, particularly something such as an incentive for the employee of the month, the employee of the year award, or other incentives that they want to give to employees but don't want them to pick up the tax bill. The key thing is, a PAYE settlement agreement is a voluntary annual agreement with HMRC, and it removes taxable items from that reporting chain. No P90, no P11Ds. no entrance onto the payroll, no Class 1 national insurance contributions deducted on the payroll. Under Regulation 80A, the income tax liability is switched to the employer, and the employer pays the tax liability on a grossed-up basis and then pays national insurance, which is Class 1B national insurance, not Class 1. It's only Class 1 employer national insurance effectively, but it's on taxable benefits and indeed it's on the income tax payable. That's a PAYE settlement agreement. Worth having a look at it for taxable items that you don't want on a P11D. Have a look at the Revenue's website. Have a look at their leaflet, IR155. Now, before we start doing P11Ds, one important thing is to recognise this problem of the national insurance. Is it Class 1 national insurance or Class 1A? And just look at the P11D itself. There's a statement on there that says employers pay Class 1A national insurance contributions on most benefits. These are shown in boxes which are brown and have a Class 1A indicator. Only five of the P11D sections, sections B, C, E, M and N, are blue boxes which do not attract Class 1A national insurance contribution liability. Indeed, section M is the only section on the P11D that is a dual choice section. You can choose between putting it in a brown box attracting Class 1A or a blue box. The question about the blue box is, have we missed a Class 1 national insurance contribution liability? When we're doing P11Ds, sometimes you might have doubts about where does it go on the P11D and is it Class 1 or Class 1A? Well, the Revenue provide a booklet, CWG5, and Appendix 1 of this booklet is an ideal guide to provide you details of whether national insurance is due as Class 1 or Class 1A, and it also tells you where it goes on to the P11D. It's in alphabetical order, and it will give you a good guide as to where it goes. Is it an employer contract, Class 1A? Is it an employee contract, only Class 1? Tell you whether there is an NIC liability, and it tells you where to put it on the P11D.